Vyasadeva anticipated that everybody in Kali Yuga would be like that, which is the majority. You're in the majority, you're not in the minority. You're in the majority. Prayena payusha sabya kalava smin juge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadruta. Srimad Bhagavat 1.1.10. In this iron age of Kali, dark age, people have alpa ayush, short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, manda, lazy. Misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So knowing that people would be like that, Vyasadeva compiled Puranas, the Puranas, and he wrote the Mahabharata because they're good stories. People like pastimes, they like stories. Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, very popular. Ramayana. People can sit for hours and hear stories, kings and queens, and love and romance and intrigue and all these things. But philosophy, which is powerful medicine, it's like bitter medicine. People prefer sweet medicine. But in Ayurveda, if disease is very chronic and severe, then they give very bitter medicines. Very bitter tasting medicines are given. So this attachment to Maya and this illusion that we're in requires a bitter medicine. So philosophy is maybe bitter medicine in the beginning, but it's poison in the end. Krishna says that in the Gita. Everything is tasty about Krishna consciousness. Krishna's leelas, Krishna's form, his qualities, his philosophy. Prabhupada said that most people, they want to immediately jump to Ras Leela. But there's also Kurukshetra Leela. It's also Leela. The emotional exchanges and the heartfelt feelings of Arjuna, and how he has dialogues with Krishna, what they're exchanging and speaking to each other on the battlefield. That's also Leela, the Lord and his devotee playing the role of a conditioned soul. That's also a pastime. Liberating the conditioned souls, that's the main pastime we're in. But people aren't too much interested in that pastime. The pastime in Gita, and people aren't too much interested in the liberation pastime. They're just interested in getting entertained, hearing some nice stories. Oh, it's a very nice story. I heard this story. But what about understanding the body and how the soul is entangled in the body and how to get free from that entanglement? And how to really experience the difference between the mind and the intelligence and the Atma, and Bhagavan and the Atma. How this is hard philosophy and practice to realize these things. Because you can be entertained for lifetimes and hear stories, because it's punya shravana kirtana. Shrimatam sakata krishna harikata is punya. By hearing harikata stories and pastimes of Krishna, it's very purifying. But ultimately you have to tackle the philosophy to establish Krishna sambandha. And understand deeply the five subjects: jiva tattva, ishvara tattva, prakriti tattva, karma tattva, and kala tattva. And then work diligently and with understanding and philosophical strength to conquer the conditional state of existence, which hearing stories day and night may not do it very, very quickly. Eventually one has to come to the point of understanding philosophy. It's a way of life. It's if we just hear stories all day and night, you may never quite grasp philosophy. Tattva and Leela, they go together. Tattva is the foundation. So otherwise we'll misconstrue or misunderstand the Leelas. We'll think they're lokic or material, or Krishna's pastimes of the gopis, which are his greatest, most advanced, complicated Leela. We'll think, oh, this is mundane sex life between man and woman. And we'll make offense. So even on the plea of hearing nice stories, we end up becoming operatis. And then we maybe even speak something blasphemous about Krishna and his parishads out of our ignorance and our foolishness of philosophy and understanding everything with a very simple brain. Then we offhandedly criticize, even to others. Then we may become animal, maybe become punished for lifetimes. I was walking on Parikrama of Radhakund the other day, other morning, and this man comes regularly, maybe he lives around here, but he has some speech defect. He's about 65 years old. I don't know, I can only make assumption, he either had it all his life, but my mind was creating this scenario that he got this speech defect as a reaction because of misusing his power of speech. Speech is a power, Vag Siddhi, Vag Shakti, the power of, we say the power of speech is a potency, is a Shakti, creation power, the power to create. A man is virile and strong, he has the potency to create a child when combined with a fertile woman, so that's a creative potency, or he has the speaking potency or memory potency. These are powers. And this man is walking and he was just speaking to himself and just like blubberish. We say blubberish. He was just blah 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 blah, just making sounds like this. Blah 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 blah. Which is some contortion or distortion of the vocal function. Some disease, maybe chronic disease. I can't say. I can only speculate. But everything is a teaching. For the humble and sensitive devotee, he tries to see teachers everywhere. Not just the 24 gurus that are mentioned in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. By Bhagavan Dattatreya, he describes the 11 gurus, different persons and aspects of material nature, animals and people that illustrate different lessons of spiritual understanding. It's there, the 24 gurus. I assume you've all read the 11th canto, or you should read it again if you haven't. And he's learning from all these different persons in his environment. They're teaching him different aspects about spiritual discipline and spiritual life, so therefore they're gurus. He's deriving some message from their presentation or their actions. Some birds and animals and some different people. 24 gurus of Dattatreya. So in one sense, as I always often say, always be a student and always be a teacher, which means that one is always collecting and distributing, or collecting as a student and distributing as a teacher. So to collect as a student means that we have to be humble and sensitive and open to our environment and open to the messages that our environment is sending us and giving us, and open to the messages that the people and animals and natural phenomena in our environment are giving us and sending to us, the messages, the teachings. So therefore the clouds can be teachers, the sun and the moon can be teachers, the waterfall can be a teacher, the moving river can be a teacher, the stagnant pond can be a teacher. So I saw this man, I said, what is the teaching for me? When we're in this student bhav, or Shishya Bhav, then we'll say, oh, what is the teaching for me in this particular event that I'm facing, or in this particular person I'm meeting, this particular person I'm interacting with, or this event that I'm facing or experiencing, what is this spiritual teaching for me? Oh Krishna, what am I supposed to learn from this person, from this place that I've come to, or from this event? What lesson am I supposed to learn to benefit my devotion, to improve my surrender, and to increase my attachment to loving you and being attached to your lotus feet? So that's when one is in a shishya bhav. That's most of the time. We're collecting experience. Experience is the best teacher. But it's only a teacher if it's connected with a teacher. Otherwise, it's only experience. If you're a student and you go into a class, you can say, I've experienced a class. There are chairs, there's a blackboard, there's a fan. Well, there's no teacher. So you had experience of the school, but there's no teacher. So what is your experience? Is not teaching anything. So the teacher behind all the events, the teacher behind all the people, the ultimate teacher behind every event that we experience, and the ultimate teacher behind every place we visit, and the ultimate teacher behind every person we interact with is God, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Adi Guru Krishna. So he's teaching through the events, he's teaching through the places, he's teaching through nature, he's teaching through other people, friends, enemies, acquaintances, nobody, just anybody, any person we see. He's teaching us if we're in Shishya Bhav, if we're in a humble mood of receptivity, a humble mood of receptivity and eagerness, and eagerness and enthusiasm to learn and advance and increase our attachment and love for Krishna. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I never lost to him and he's never lost to me. This is in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 30. On the ultimate end, it means the gopis, the gopi bhav, they're seeing Krishna everywhere. So they're the purest devotees. But in the lower sense, it means the teacher-student bhav. To see Krishna everywhere and see every opportunity to learn and collect some blessings and some messages and some lessons and teachings from Krishna. And then other opportunities come where we're supposed to distribute those teachings. We're supposed to distribute those lessons, those teachings, those experiences, those blessings that we've collected and received from Krishna. Then we're supposed to distribute them to thirsty souls. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami satchame na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So this is seeing the teacher Krishna everywhere, looking for lessons, looking for mercy. We say mercy. Well, mercy means teachings, lessons, messages, instructions. When I saw this man, I saw him twice in over a period of a week. I don't know if he's where he lives, but around the same time every morning, around 4:30 in the morning, Radhika and Prickamark. I don't know where he's going. I just saw him briefly. Blah 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 blah. So I was thinking, this is maybe this is. I said, Krishna, what is the teaching for me here? Teaching is that this power of speech, this ability to speak, is not, you can't take it for granted. You can become paralyzed in a second. Whatever facility or ability that we've been given by God, we say God-given talents. Podrasham Nrishu, I am the ability in man, Krishna says. Whatever God-given talents we've received or possess, they can be taken back by the giver. Someone may give you something, then take it back. Of course, it's in general law or morality, it's a great sin to take back something you've given. But for God, it's not. He's the lawmaker. So the devotee feels that I've been given this power of speech by Krishna. For what? To speak prajalpa, to speak nonsense, to speak offenses, to speak criticism. No, I've been given this power of speech and this ability to enunciate and pronunciate and communicate and use language. I've been awarded this great facility, which most of the living creatures don't have the ability to speak. They speak in some broken language which only they can understand. Hardly a few grunts and groans and chirps and whistles. And somehow they communicate with each other in a very primitive, crude way. The mother cow, she's looking towards her baby who's tied up at some distance from her. And she's been chewing grass, and the mother's milk bag is full of milk, and she's thinking, oh, my baby, I want to feed you my milk. But the coward man has tied her up and tied the baby up at some distance so the baby can't drink the milk. So the mother will communicate to the baby and say, ma, ma, ma. Like, ma, ma. It sounds as if the mother is saying, baby, baby, bacha, bacha, come. Ma, 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 ow, ow. And then the baby cow, or calf, she or he replies to her mother by saying, ma, 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 ma. She's saying, ma. It sounds as if the calf is, in her own way, is saying, mommy, mommy, mother, mother. I want to come, but I'm tied up. And she says, I want you to come. I want to come to you, but I'm tied up. But in human beings, we can communicate so perfectly and so explicitly and specifically about many topics. But as devotees, we should realize that this God-given ability should be used for the glorification of God, Uttama Shloka Krishna. And that as He gave us this ability to use for His service, like every facility and ability we have in our hand, He can also take it away. Like the son, the father may give the young son who turns 18 a car. He's not giving you this car, you use it nicely and responsibly and you can keep it. Otherwise, I'll take it back. So then he starts using the car to go buy drugs from one place and go to another place and sell them and all kinds of nonsense activities. So the father takes the car away and says, you're irresponsible. You're not mature. You're not handling this gift properly. So he takes back the car. Or even sells it. So I was thinking this, maybe I have some ability to speak, but if I speak nonsense or speak bad words about other devotees or other people or criticism, then maybe in a snap of a finger, as we say, I can be blubbering like this man I met in the Prickamore. Blah, 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 blah. Because it's easy if you have a mild stroke, even a mild stroke and there's lack of oxygen in a few areas of your brain, and one side can be paralyzed or another side, or sometimes your ear can be paralyzed or your lips or your tongue. And we find people like that. Sometimes they can't speak after the stroke. Blah, 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 blah. So we can also, at any moment, whatever we've been given can be taken away, so we should be very careful and cautious. So I became a little more serious when I saw this person. This was very exaggerated, what would be considered a very exaggerated speech defect to the point of incomprehensibility. Blah, 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 you know, almost a humorous, although unfortunate, situation. A child would laugh at such an display. It was actually a very sad event. But I can't imagine that person had that serious defect for his entire 65 years of his life, but maybe he did. Just walking by himself, making all these sounds. Unfortunate. So in our own way, we're making the same kind of sounds when we speak non-Krishna talk. And we may end up like that in this life, or next life. So responsibility, facility, when we're given facility, we have responsibility. Facility means responsibility. So human form of life is the greatest facility for God realization. So it behooves us, and it's our responsibility to realize God. Because no other species of life can realize God. They have some decent, good facility to eat, mate, sleep, and defend. Birds and dogs and pigs, animals, monkeys. But they have zero, absolutely zero, negative zero facility to realize God. So they engage day and night very expertly in ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So unfortunately, most human beings are doing the same thing. So as sadhakas, not only do we have the ability to speak, but we have the ability to remember. Memory, that's a function of intelligence. The greater the intelligence, the greater the memory power. And memory power as a power, like any power, it can be cultivated also. Although there's a certain determinant factor of birth and genetic inheritance. It's not that if you're not a genius that you can become a genius, but there are stories of that also. A very simple, apparently simple, unlearned people have become overnight scholars by the mercy of God, or Saraswati Darshan, or the mercy of Guru. There was one, I think Ramanujacharya had one servant who was considered illiterate, couldn't read or write. He would just gather firewood for the Guru's yagyas and pujas, and cooking in the ashram and do various menial services, humble services as ordered by his Guru. And then one day the Guru, when he was addressing the learned assembly of scholars and pundits in his ashram, he refused to speak, and the students went and said, Guruji, we're all assembled, we'd like to hear your discussion on Ved. Why are you not speaking? He said, no, I'm waiting for Koresh, or whoever his name was. I'm waiting for so-and-so. And then the other scholarly students, they laughed, they said, oh, he's out in the forest somewhere. He's collecting firewood. He never attends class. Everyone, you know, and I know, everyone knows he's illiterate. He can't follow very well the language, and he doesn't know the Sanskrit. So this Sanskrit class you're giving won't be very productive for him. He says, no, I don't. I'm not waiting for him to attend class. I'm waiting for him to give the class. I want him to give the class. Everyone was astounded, amazed. I couldn't believe it. So everyone dispersed, all the students dispersed, ran through the forest searching Koresh, or whoever his name was. And I said, please come, Guruji wants you. So he went to the Guruji, and the Guruji said, I want you to give class today, a Sanskrit class. He said, Guruji, I don't know Sanskrit. I don't know what you're talking about. I just said my simple service. I don't have any abilities or intellectual facility or capacity to give any kind of class. And the Guru said, no, you just remember me and you pray to Krishna and remember your Guru and see what happens. So he got up on the podium and he prayed to Krishna, remembered his Guru, offered prayers to his Guru. He started speaking. It was the most wonderful and erudite delivery that anyone had ever heard. And all the other students were quite amazed. How is it overnight he's become so learned? So it's the mercy of God and the mercy of Guru. So this power was given to him. The story is there in the biography. And many times you see these pastimes are there. I told one in Radhastami about Kalidas, the famous poet of medieval India. Kalidas. He wrote so many beautiful love poems in Sanskrit and Bengali and Radha and Krishna. Kalidas, very famous personality, but he was illiterate. And he was somehow praying to Saraswati, and Saraswati appeared to him and gave him all knowledge. Purna Vidya Prakash. All knowledge was manifest within him. So he became a great Sanskrit poet, Kaviraj. Kalidas Kaviraj. So such things can happen. But nevertheless, whatever we have, we should use it for Krishna's service. Krishna is always waiting to reveal himself and to help us. If we're sincere, we just keep making sincere efforts to improve ourselves and to advance. And as they say, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, it matters how many times you pick yourself up. You fall down 10 times and pick yourself up 9 times, then where are you? You're fallen. If you get up the 10th, you fall down a 10th time, then you pick yourself up the 10th time, then you're up and running. You're ready to try again and fight again and walk again, take another step without stumbling and bumbling and tripping and falling due to Prarabdha Karma and various hindrances and obstacles that come our way in the path of Bhakti Marg. Slow and steady wins a race. Every Olympic track star started off falling on, isn't it? Every single one. Every Olympic hero of the track and field, he has the same inglorious beginning of taking a step and falling on his bum. Boom! Oh, get up. Hold my finger. Come on, take a step. Come on. One step, two step. And then 20 years later, he wins the 220-meter dash or this or that. Huh. We're trying to go to Krishna. We're trying to think of Krishna. As I was mentioning about speaking and also memory, humans have memory, so it's a power which can be developed. Our memory may be weak, but as we practice, it gets stronger. Because Krishna helps us. It's called the Krishna factor. The Krishna factor in memory. It's not some Ayurvedic medicine or some special techniques of memory building or going to some speed course on how to improve memory. It's simply sincere endeavors in bhakti gain the mercy of God. And everyone is experience this all repeatedly in the field of devotion. How Krishna comes through. Krishna does reciprocate. He says so in Gita. So each devotee is experienced and put Krishna to the test. Yeyitam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamya mama bhartmaravartante manasa partha sarvasham. As we surrender to Krishna, reciprocates. We try to remember him. We try to remember verses. Oh, how to remember these verses?
15:15
also. Yeah. Sarvacham. Ridhi Vedanta Krid Veda Vedevacham. From Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So it's in Krishna's hands. He has a treasury. Vidya Kosh, Smaran Kosh. We're trying to hear and chant about Krishna, and he's giving us the power to do so. So now we try to remember Krishna. Oh, it's so hard to remember Krishna. I try to think of a pastime. I can remember for 1 minute, then my mind goes blank. And then you keep trying. Oh, I can remember for 10 minutes. I have to keep trying. Practice. Because Krishna sees, oh, this devotee, he wants to remember my pastimes. He's trying to remember my form. He's trying to meditate on the marks on my feet and what they mean. He's practicing and practicing and practicing. And it seems so slow to him. And it seems that he remembers and then he forgets. Gradually he remembers. Because Krishna says, all right, I'll help him. I'll give him memory power. And for 30 years, 40 years, he remembers. Without even extra effort, or even review sometimes, he remembers 40 years later something he learned. Learned a verse in 1975 and hasn't said it in 30 years and speaks it. That's Krishna. Krishna Shakti. Krishna Kripa. So we want to do hearing, chanting, remembering, especially remembering Krishna and his parishas and their names and their forms and their pastimes. It's a practice. No practice, no perfection. Can you get a degree from school without attending? You can't get a degree from school without attending. So you can't get perfection in bhakti without trying. Hare Krishna.